Welcome once again to Leto's Law. Here's Steve Leto.
I've talked quite a bit about civil asset forfeiture, and as more attention gets drawn to this problem, more and more people are starting to speak out against it. But even so, there are still egregious examples of civil asset forfeiture that are happening every single day around our country. And it's one of those things that it's not going to end until a large number of us are outraged. And so a story like this is one that will drive the outrage. Gayla and Edmund both sent it to me from Reason.com. After the cops seized her car, the government waited 5 years before giving her a chance to get it back. This is happening in Massachusetts. So we've talked before, civil asset forfeiture is where the police or law enforcement take something of yours, of either a physical object like a car or money. They take your stuff. And you can't just get it back from them. You've actually got to take a legal action against them to get it back. And you've got to prove that the stuff is yours and was not involved in any sort of crime. It puts a burden of proof on you to prove that, in essence, your stuff is innocent. And they take it and they get to keep it until you prove it. And that's so backwards that most people recoil at the thought and go, that can't be right. Well, it's not right, but it's how the law works right now. So in Massachusetts, Melinda Harris argues that the civil asset forfeiture routinely violates the right to due process. And this is a great article written by Jacob Sullum from Reason.com. On March 4th, 2015, police in Berkshire County, Massachusetts seized her 2011 Infiniti because her son was suspected of selling drugs. Now, Harris had let her son borrow the car, but the police never alleged that he used it for drug dealing, or that she knew about her son's illegal activity. No allegations of that. She heard nothing more about her property until October of 2020, more than 5 years after the police took her car, when she was served with a civil forfeiture complaint that had strangely been prepared the previous January. So they waited about 4.5 years to draft a complaint, waited 9 months to serve it on her, and they say, if you want your car back, we'll see you in court 5 years after we took your car. Now, in a motion that her attorneys filed last week, Harris argues that the unconscionable delay in giving her a chance to recover it was a due process violation that by itself justifies its immediate return. And that would make sense, that if the police are allowed to take it and just sit on it and just sit on it and wait to see what you're going to do, that's wrong. You know, so everything in our system allegedly is towards getting your rights vindicated relatively quickly. I can't say fast, but speedy trials and things of that nature. So Massachusetts invites the abuse, she says, because its civil forfeiture law does not provide any deadline by which the Commonwealth is required to initiate forfeiture proceedings. The Phoenix-based Goldwater Institute, which represents Harris, cites several other constitutionally questionable aspects of the state's law, which epitomizes everything that is wrong with the practice of confiscating property by alleging that it's connected to a crime, even when the owner has done nothing illegal. According to the Institute for Justice, Massachusetts has the worst civil forfeiture laws in the country. Massachusetts is the only state to earn an F in the latest edition of the organization's Policing for Profit report, and it's not hard to see why. As in most states, police in Massachusetts can seize property when they have probable cause to believe it was used for drug trafficking. But once they've met that minimum threshold, the burden of proof shifts to the owner, who must show the property is not subject to forfeiture. In this case, the government has offered no evidence that Harris's son, who left town after the seizure and was murdered 3 years later, used her car for drug dealing. While the forfeiture affidavit alleges that three other cars seized by police were used to transport drugs, Goldwater Institute senior attorney Stephen Silverman notes it contains no such allegations with respect to Harris's Infiniti. It says only that the police found the title to the Infiniti in Travis's bedroom and upon searching the car found occupancy papers, which included two parking tickets and a oil change receipt. That evidence, Silverman says, is plainly insufficient to establish probable cause for the forfeiture. So they're saying, look, this kid was breaking the law. This is the car he was driving during that time frame, so therefore we get to take the car. And the only evidence they can show that the guy was even using the car was a couple parking tickets and an oil change receipt, which shows that he was driving the car, doesn't show he was breaking the law with the car. Massachusetts allows innocent owners to seek the return of their assets unless they knew or should have known that such conveyance or real property was used in and for the business of unlawfully manufacturing, dispensing, or distributing controlled substances. But it requires owners to prove their innocence, the reverse of the presumption that applies in criminal cases. And this is a problem. I've talked before about the shifting burdens of proof in different cases. And generally speaking, something's going to be proven beyond a reasonable doubt in a criminal setting for someone to be found guilty of something. How do you prove you're innocent? How do you prove you're innocent? So in other words, let's suppose that we're in a debate, an intellectual standoff in court. The prosecution and the people of the state are on one side, and I am on the other side, and I'm either the defendant or I'm the person trying to get my stuff back, okay? If it's going to be proven that I broke the law, you got to prove it beyond a reasonable doubt. For me to prove I haven't broken the law, what does it even entail? Do I have to show every single thing I did in a 5-year period and prove that none of it was illegal? How do you prove that you haven't broken the law? Because we all know what the elements are of a crime. So if the elements of a crime are A, B, C, and I prove A, B, C beyond a reasonable doubt, then I've proven that. What are the elements of a non-crime? How do I prove a non-crime? And that's what's nonsensical about this. It's actually idiotic. So Silverman, the attorney, says that the rule violates due process. And since the government can keep Harris's property even though she has no culpability at all, he argues the state's legalized larceny also violates the Eighth Amendment's excessive fines clause, which, by the way, is what they talked about in the Tyson Timbs case out of Indiana, where they took the man's Land Rover and they said, well, you know, he was selling drugs out of it, therefore we get to keep the Land Rover. And the Supreme Court said, no, you can't. That's an excessive fine. But they addressed it as an excessive fines case, not as a civil asset forfeiture case. Punishment must be proportional to the property owner's wrongdoing, he says. In the case of an innocent owner, any punishment would be disproportionate. Even attempting to recover seized property requires hiring a lawyer, which costs thousands of dollars, a bill that in this case could have easily exceeded the market value of Harris's car. Since the Goldwater Institute is representing her for free, though, she doesn't have to worry about that obstacle in this case. Most forfeiture victims are not so lucky. Since the value of seized property is typically less than the cost of trying to get it back, usually it makes more sense to just give up. And that's what they're banking on. They're hoping you do that. So even when a Massachusetts property owner can't afford a lawyer, he cannot do anything until the government notifies him that it is proceeding with the forfeiture, which in this case happened 68 months after the seizure. 68 months after the seizure. The Commonwealth has offered no justification for why it took almost 5 years to file the suit or another 10 months to serve it. This lengthy, unexplained delay deprived Harris of due process and requires the complaint be dismissed. So we'll have to wait and see what happens in this case. This is another example where civil asset forfeiture takes you if you just let it play out, okay? So the police seized her car, which was being driven by her son, more than 5 years ago. And about 5 years later, they file the complaint where they say they want to seize the car and explain why. And they serve that on her 10 months after it's filed for some weird reason. I have met no one who says they agree with civil asset forfeiture. I've met some people who, and I'm talking about people in the comments below. I'll get some people who say, well, Steve, you know, if a person's breaking the law and they're caught breaking the law, and while they're caught breaking the law, the stuff they have with them that they're using to break the law, I can see them forfeiting that. So can I. And the easiest solution is to say, if someone's convicted of a crime, you have a secondary trial very, very quickly to determine whether the stuff they had with them was being used in the crime, and if so, forfeit it. And you have that done in the same hearing. Exact same jury, same judge, whatever it is. But the idea that you can have a civil asset forfeiture with no criminal action, no criminal complaint, no conviction, simply an accusation that your car broke the law. I've yet to meet somebody who said, no, Steve, that makes sense to me. No one. Now, you might say, but wait a second, Steve, isn't that unusual? Because there's obviously people who believe in this, who work in the government. They don't watch my videos. What can I tell you? So this is one of the craziest civil asset forfeiture cases we've seen. And I'm glad that Jacob Sullum and Reason.com are publicizing this. And the fact that several people sent it to me indicates that people are seeing this stuff. And every video I do on these topics drives a lot of comments and views, and people repost the videos and they tell their friends. And I've had people say, but Steve, I've never heard of this before. Good, good. I'm here telling you about it, so now you know. The more people know, the better. And more people need to know about this, and you need to talk to people about this. And I've mentioned before that every now and then we have elections. And once in a while, someone will come knock on my door or knock on your door and say, I'm running for something. Instead of chasing them off your porch like you do with the vacuum cleaner salesperson, open the door and step out on the porch and say, I'm glad you're here. Let me explain to you the one topic that really upsets me. Civil asset forfeiture. And now, they might be running for judge, they might be running for Congress, they might be running for the local legislature, Washington, D.C., you know, whatever. Whatever it is, tell them this is what upsets you. It should upset you. And the problem is that many of the people in government, whether they're elected or not, actually do view it as an us versus them. And so if you ask people in law enforcement, they'll go, well, the civil asset forfeiture generates money for us so we can buy equipment. Daiquiri makers. So what? You could steal the money and buy a daiquiri maker. The money itself doesn't justify how you got it. Okay? And so the fact that they're now becoming dependent on that money is no reason for them to keep doing it. So you need to, when you have the opportunity, to speak to your legislator or whoever it is that's asking for your vote, say, I'm curious, what are your thoughts on civil asset forfeiture? And then explain to them how upset it makes you. And, you know, I talk about a lot of stuff on this channel. I talk about, you know, auto recalls and lemon law and consumer scams and RVs. Civil asset forfeiture is the number one topic that upsets me the most. It's the most important thing I talk about. And from the reactions I get from people, you guys get it. I'm glad you do. So again, tell everyone you know that you talk about this. And if you ever have the opportunity to speak to a legislator, talk to them. Someone's on your porch, wants to talk to you about a vote, explain to them that, you know something, there is one thing that upsets me. There might be other things that upset you too, but throw civil asset forfeiture into the mix, because this is something that could go away in our lifetimes. There are some states that have taken steps to fix this. Some states have taken half-hearted steps, but if we keep beating on this, eventually we might be able to make it go away. And that'd be a great day if we could make that happen. So I got to thank the people at Reason.com for pushing this as much as they do. Jacob Sullum for writing the article. After the cops seized her car, the government waited 5 years before giving her a chance to get it back. And that's crazy. Edmund Gala, thanks a lot. Questions or comments, put them below. Let's talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching Leto's Law. A computer once beat me at chess, but it was no match for me at kickboxing.